Amen. It's good to see everybody out to the home group meeting. Amen. For this month, we just I just thank you and I like that. I have a good friend of mine named Pastor Foster, and he always says, "Thank you for pressing your way out." And I, you know, I kind of like that because sometimes it can be a press for coming out. But I just want to thank everybody for coming out to the home group meeting tonight. Amen. Before I get going, earlier in prayer we prayed for the radio station that could be going to a shortwave station in Kathmandu, Nepal. And I'm not going to go into the details, but this is just a special prayer request that I would ask other people around the world just to keep us in your heart and your thoughts and your prayer that the Lord would just be involved in Good News FM 105.1, either transitioning to a shortwave station in Kathmandu, Nepal, or starting a shortwave station up itself. And I think that would probably be the best way to go. Two is better than one in God. But anyways, whatever the Lord would want in for that. Amen. And just a quick administrative note, the notes that I give out, at the home group meetings, many people have asked me to go ahead and put them in my blog. So now if you go to my blog and you're listening to my home, on the website, so if you go to our blog, then the notes I will be sharing tonight is out there, and it's pointed toward, this time here. And so you will have the exact notes. And so those that I've asked, you got it your way, and I think that works out really, really well. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and get started. As we do, we like to look at what we kind of looked at last month to get our heart and get our spirit, moving in the direction that the Holy Spirit would have for us. And so there's three points that we kind of looked at, three very important points that we looked at last month that really has a bearing on our life today. And that first point is there is to be a continual receiving from God in our life. Mm-hmm. I like that so much, I'm going to say that again. Amen. It's God's intention for us. There is to be a continual receiving from God. So if there's to be a continual receiving from God, I mean 24/7, God is desiring to, for us to receive His things. Mm-hmm. And so if there's a continual receiving, then there must be on our part a continuing turning from all which is contrary to the known will of God in our life. Mm-hmm. If there's a continual receiving from God, then on our part there must be a continual turning away from anything that is contrary to the known will of God in our life. And that is a very, very powerful point. And you could speak on, days on that point. But second point is correction. Amen. Not too many people like correction. I'm not a big fan of correction until I went to Germany. And when I went to Germany, there was a couple of men would come by, and they would reserve 2 hours when we started the church in Germany, and they would reserve about 2 hours each time they would come by and correct me. And I really looked forward to that time of correction, because correction is always a part of preparing our hearts to meet God. Correction is always a part of us preparing our heart to meet God. So if we're planning to go and meet God in some way, correction, the introspection of correction, must be a part in us. If not, then we will not be able to meet God with a pure heart and clean hands, as Titus says. Amen? And the last point is the Lord always brings a lesson that has impact in our future walk. Whatever God is bringing, whatever lesson God is bringing into our life, that always has impact. There's probably impact now in our life, but not as much impact as God tends for it to be in our future life. Because if we can learn the small things now, then God will be able to trust us with the big things in the future. Mm-hmm. And we'll look at that a little later. Amen. Mm-hmm. But the Lord always brings a lesson that always has impact in our future walk. Amen? Mm-hmm. Well, this is Wilderness Truths for Modern Times, number 30. And that means we get together once a month. And so for the last 30 months, we have been, sharing the Wilderness Truths. And we are now in the wilderness of Sinai. The word Sinai means glory. God's heart for the people was to bring the children of Israel after Goshen and the Red Sea and Sur and Sam, he brought them into the wilderness of Sinai. God brought him into a place of glory, but the children of Israel were afraid. They did not understand what God was doing. They could not communicate with him. They stayed there for a while. Amen. In our text here from Leviticus 10, 1 and 3, it says, "And Nadab and Abihu, the son of Aaron, took either of them, but this is Chaucer, and put fire therein, and put incense therein, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not." God told them not to do that. Anytime God tells us not to do something, we better pay attention. Not if God tells us to do something, because that's what we're listening for. I want you to do this, and I want you to do that. Well, that's important, but I'm here to tell you it's more important. We've got to pay more attention when God tells us not to do something, because there's a reward for doing both. We always think that God's reward is always wonderful and great. Well, a reward is something we get out of our behavior. And so if God tells us not to do something in our behavior, and we do that, well, then we're going to receive a reward. And unfortunately, the sons of Aaron, and there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them. Now, you know, I had a hard time when I was reading these verses, because here is Aaron, the high priest, and all of a sudden his sons did this thing that God told them not to, and the Lord just, you know, fire went out and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses says unto Aaron, and this is what I had a hard time getting my thoughts around a little bit, "This is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh to me, and behold, all people, I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, let's step back and take a look at that picture for a second. That Aaron's two sons did something they wasn't supposed to, and God killed them, and Aaron had to keep his peace. I don't know if I would have lost my two sons, where my heart condition would be. I would be angry with God. God, how could you kill my children? Well, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh to me. God is serious. And I'm going to preface what I'm going to be saying here. The only way I can say this for those that are listening over the internet and in our company is, you know, we got to get serious. God is serious, and we got to stop really fooling around.
Amen.
And I'm talking about myself. There's areas in my life, and I'm going to be honest, there's areas in my life that I know is not pleasing to God. Things I say, things I do, things I don't say, things I don't do. There are areas in my life that I know are not pleasing to God, and I need to clean those up. I just felt so bad for Aaron, you know. And Aaron, you know, he died a very humiliating death. He was stripped by the people and died naked. And for a Jewish man to die naked is just, you know, and it was because of the golden calf, you know, things that he did, you know. You know, God is long-suffering, but there will come a time when God says enough is enough, and God will... will get our attention. Amen?
Amen.
God gets nasty. Now, a lot of people don't believe that. People don't believe God gets nasty. Well, I will tell you, God can get nasty. And when he gets nasty, he knows how to get nasty. Amen.
Amen.
If there is to be a continual approach to God, then there must be a concern for holiness in all areas of our life. Holiness is not really that important in the church anymore. And we go to a number of churches. And holiness, you know, is not really, you know, is not as important as it used to be. Growing up, I can remember, and I went to AG churches and Church of God's and all kind of Pentecostal churches and all kind of, you know, charismatic churches. And, you know, holiness used to be a standard and stuff like that. But it's kind of drifted away from that, where holiness is really not that important. And Peter attempts to press this into our hearts when he wrote in 1 Peter 1, 15 through 16, "But as which has called you to holiness, so ye holy in all manner of conversation." And that word conversation is not the word conversation as we're talking. That word conversation is translated lifestyle. In all of our lifestyle, we are to have a sense or a manner of holiness, because it is written,
Be ye holy, for I am holy. God intends for us to be holy.
Amen.
24/7. This is His heart for us. Who shall ascend to the holy hill of the Lord? Those with clean hands and a clean heart, right? God desired for us to be holy. God means this. And consider these words in Hebrews 12 and 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Now, it's easy to follow peace with all men, isn't it? Well, I will promise you, if there is not a desire for holiness in your life, you will not follow peace with all men.
Amen.
Before you can follow peace with all men, and that's a very difficult thing to do. I know I have some friends today that don't talk to me. And I consider them friends, but they don't talk to me. And, you know, I would like to follow peace with them, but their heart towards me is not... You know, it's not where it means to be. For without, no man shall see God, shall see the Lord. So if we want to see the Lord, we got to follow peace with all men and holiness. Holiness is important, and we need to remember this every day of our life. This urging to prepare one's heart so frequent in the Word of God that I would be afraid to ignore it. Holiness is very, very, very important. You know, God is more concerned about our character than He is about our anointing and our service. God's number one focus in our life is not how long we can speak in tongues, and yes, we need to do that, or how much money we give the church, or how long we can stand and preach, or how many miles we can travel and teach and all that good stuff. That is not God's number one focus. God's number one focus in our life is our character. Because His goal in our life, the master plan, is for us to be conformed into the character and the image of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that comes through God's dealing and judgments in our life. And, you know, if we cannot measure up in character, well, then believe it or not, God cannot use us. We will disqualify ourselves for service. God is so concerned about our character in our life. Amen.
Amen.
How can one assume to continually approach God for an ongoing and growing relationship, and yet bring with him elements contrary to the righteousness of God? Wow. Now, you know that that's, you know, just kind of, you know, sink in. If there, as we started out, there's to be a continual receiving from God, how can we assume to constantly approach God for ongoing, you know, spiritual growth and development, but constantly bring elements that are contrary to the righteousness of God? Divine order must be maintained. Otherwise, our communion with God will be hindered, and we will not be able to progress ever upward with Him. Ever seeking the righteous character of God to become the very core of our life and our activity. That's what God would desire in our life, to bring the core of David, the core of, you know, Daryl, Pastor Steve, and Ray, you know, in our core, that it would be the character of righteousness of God in our life and in all that we do.
Amen.
You know, we bring to God oftentimes bad habits and character flaws. Bad habits and character flaws. I don't know about you, but I have some bad habits. And I don't know about you, and I'll be the first to admit it, I have some character flaws. Now, these aren't sins. They're not sins. Jesus didn't die for my bad habits. Jesus did not die for my character flaws. No, He didn't. He died for my sins. Sin is to know right but do wrong. But constantly, when I come to Him, I'm bringing these bad habits, and I'm bringing these character flaws. And I need to love God enough to allow Him to work in my life and take care of these bad habits and take care of these character flaws. Because if not, He will take care of them for me. God gets nasty. If I do not allow God to work in my life and take care of some of my bad habits and my character flaws, which are not, you know, if not of Him, He will take care of them for me. God will not turn us away. God always, always is drawing us. Amen? But He will not give Himself to us totally. You know, Jesus never gave Himself totally to some people. He didn't. There were some people Jesus stood afar off because He knew their heart. He knew their bad habits. He knew their character flaws.
But God will never turn us away. But God, I believe God will never ever really be able to give himself to us, and we can become what he wants us to be when we have all of these bad habits and these character flaws that we're kind of holding on to. Amen? Amen. If we are to walk with God, the two of us must be in agreement. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" If we have one attitude and God has an opposite attitude, we better straighten ours out.
Amen.
God is not going to change. He's not going to change. He's not going to change for me. He's not going to change for Karen. God is not going to change for anybody. If my attitude is contrary to his, I need to change my attitude.
Amen.
And if we want his best, something must take place in us to cause us to correct our ways in order to be conformed to God's ways. We must come to correction in areas of our life we think that are not important. Those small, insignificant areas, all of those little things in our areas that we think are not important, I will tell you, God is closely scrutinizing us in those. Those little areas, those little things that we think are not important, God doesn't care about this and God doesn't care about that. Well, I'm telling you, the smaller the area in our life, the more God is scrutinizing us in that. The smaller the things in our life, the more God, because he knows if we can be, if he can deal with us in small areas, then he'll be able to deal with us in these big areas. It's like a laser. God is just focusing on those areas. Amen?
Amen.
If correction is not forthcoming, God may take rare and extreme measures. If we don't take care of some areas in our life, sin, of course, right? Sin, of course, if we know we're over in sin, we have to take care of that. We have to go to the Lord. We got to confess. We might even have to go and apologize. Wow. You know what the greatest sign of love of a husband and a wife is, Ray? I don't know about you, but for me, it's to apologize to my wife when I am wrong. That takes love. Wow. We may have to even go and apologize to our brother or our sister. Because I'm telling you, if we do not do that, God will take extreme measures. It is not uncommon for God to take one totally out. Look at the Bible. Look at Aaron's two sons. Aaron's two sons offered strange fire that God told them not to do, and God took them out. Yeah. Out of the picture to ensure that his will is done in a group or in the lives of a believer. When we started our church in Germany, we had many, many Africans in our church. And there was a faction in the church that didn't like me. Carol, can you believe that? They didn't like me. Me? Come on, they didn't like me. Hard to believe. Well, they would actually get pastors from Africa and bring them into Germany and bring them to the church, and they would try to get a group and gather them against me in the church, you know? And I was kind of dumb and happy, and I really didn't kind of see this was going on until one day this one African brother told me what was going on, and I went, wow. And there was a pastor that came from Nigeria, and I'll never forget, he was in church one Sunday, and I asked him to close the service out in prayer, so he prayed. But that next Wednesday, we were in church, and that next Wednesday, he was gathering some of the members of the church. And he was standing up and he was preaching. And suddenly, and he was only like in his, you know, middle 40s, suddenly he dropped over dead. Just dropped over dead. And they burned his body in Germany. No one claimed his body. For an African to be cremated, you know, and not buried in the earth is, oh, boy, that was, you know. And I really believe God took him out because God was doing something special with Christian Look and Miami Stuttgart. You know, just, you know, great things was going on. And this guy was gathering people and God took him out. Matter of fact, they wanted me to go ahead and take his body
you know, claim his body and have him sent back to Africa, I said, I want nothing to do with that. That was the judgment of God. But God will take extreme, extreme measures to take care of things. God's action may be very drastic at times, but He would not try to avoid such harsh measures. Matthew 12 and 20 says, the bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall not be quenched, till he sends forth judgment unto victory. You know, it's classic. There's always judgment before victory. Who wants victory? I want victory, brother. Well, guess what? Before we get victory, we get judgment.
That's true.
People don't realize that. There must be a judgment before we get victory.
Wow.
Allowing God, a loving God is not above judgment and punishment to get our attention. Judgment always comes before victory, as judgment always comes before mercy. Who wants mercy? I want mercy. God, give me mercy. Well, before we can receive mercy, a judge has to say, you are guilty, but I'm going to give you mercy.
Right.
We don't like to be judged, but I'm sorry. That's not the way that works. The spiritual order is always judgment before mercy, and judgment always before victory. This does not mean that God enjoys the broken reed and loves smoke in his eyes. So what Matthew was conveying is God has patience with wrong.
Wow.
God's long-suffering. But hopes for correction or victory through the judgment that he sends. That's a powerful statement. I'm going to go ahead and say that again. Amen? Amen? He wants correction. He wants correction. But hopes for correction or victory through the judgment that he sends. God does not want destruction. No, he doesn't. He wants correction. But if there can be no correction affected, then he will go to an extreme, even harsh measures to make that happen. We must never confuse God's long-suffering with us for his weakness. I hear a lot of Christians say that. Oh, God's long-suffering, no. And they think that God is the weak God because he's long-suffering. Well, God is very, very long-suffering, but there is a point. There is a point, unless we can come to a place of correction, unless we can allow God to work in our life and bring us to a place and, you know, to some areas in our life that, you know, that can be, you know, developed and you know, just pulled down in our life, then, well, destruction is the only thing that's left. The judgment of God for correction will always and continually be applied to those who are correctable. The judgment of God for correction will always and continually be applied to those who are correctable, no matter how evil they may be and no matter how long it takes. No one is too bad for God.
Amen.
No one. Right. No one has ever sinned that God can't take care of. If that will be true, then God is not God. Right? Amen? You know, well, how about the pardonable sin? Well, I think the pardonable sin is where people, they just refuse. They just refuse to accept God's grace. And they just themselves, because God has never sent anybody to hell. Never sent anybody to hell. If you end up in hell, it's your fault. It's not God's fault. It's because you have refused to receive the plan of salvation, the way that God has laid that out. And you refused it, and you refused it. And we're going to look at, that a little bit. Amen? Amen. If God cannot give correction in one place under one type of judgment, then he will try another place under another type of judgment. Isn't that loving, Marian?
Yes.
God loves us so much, if he's going to bring us into judgment so he can bring us to victory, if he can't get us this way, you know what he's going to do? He's going to come in this way at us. And he's going to keep trying to those people that are correctable. And all people are correctable. And so God will continue to work in our life and bring us to a place of correction if we have a heart for that and if we want that. God knows how to bring judgment and correction into our life, doesn't he?
Amen.
Have you ever had the fear of God in your life?
Amen.
I have.
twice in my life. Twice in my life. God, I mean, I always had fear. Fear is often, you know, shaking and trembling. And then fear, most often, is translated in the Bible as awe. The word awesome. And we get this. God is an awesome God. But I have had twice in my life, God has put fear in me. Oh, but God's not the author of fear. Well, I'm going to tell you. I can tell you two times in my life that God has put fear in me, and all I could do was just shake. My mouth would stop, and all I could do was God. That was it. Amen. Maybe someday, I'll talk about that. But God knows how to get our attention. He knows how to bring judgment into our life. And He knows just exactly what to use to get our attention, doesn't He?
Amen.
You know what He always gets our attention with? Our weakness. He knows our weakness. The Bible says He knows our frame. We are as grass. He knows our weakness. He knows the areas that we are weak. And He knows how to get us and how to bring us into judgment. Because if He can't bring us into judgment, He can't bring us into victory. It's a spiritual principle. Judgment before victory. And God always wants to bring us to victory. Wow. The longer correction is withstood, the greater the hindrance of spiritual growth and development. Now I'm talking about Christians, and I've seen Christians that are believers, and they know that they need corrected, but they resist. They resist the correction, not only from God, but they resist the correction from those in spiritual authority over them. So the longer correction is withstood, the greater the hindrance to spiritual growth and development. Or in other words, there will be no, I don't care how long you go to church and you dance and you do all those religious things, but there will be no spiritual growth and development in your life until you submit to the correction and that God wants to bring in your life.
Amen.
As one continues in the wrong path, more and more of one's spiritual life is chipped away. Wow. Now this is getting my attention when I got this part. If I continue in non-correction in my life, and the more I continue in that, the more of my spiritual life is chipped away. We ask the Lord, Pastor Steve, to come and minister to us. What is He ministering to? Our flesh? No, He wants to kill our flesh. When God comes to minister to us, He's ministering to the life of God.
Right.
The amount of the life of God that is in us. And the longer we refuse correction, the longer we resist what the Lord would have for us, the more of that life of God is lost in us. Till ultimately, it's gone. It's like a deposit. The life of God is a deposit within us. And the more that we resist correction, the more we refuse to allow God to deal with judging our life and the bad habits and the attitudes and the motives and all of that garbage that's in our life, the more we resist God's dealing, the more of the life of God is just chipped away. For example, some believers refuse to apologize to others. Can you believe that? Some believers would refuse to apologize to others. Wow, I just can't believe that. Or to make wrongs right. And therefore grow bitter toward these individuals. The increasing bitterness chips away at their spiritual lives, and no spiritual growth is realized. You can't grow spiritually in God when you're angry at your brother.
That's right. Amen.
You know, when I get angry at my wife and I try to pray, I can scratch that, Brother Fetty.
Yeah.
Scratch that. Amen. It ain't going to happen. Oh, I'm going to read my Bible. No. I want to sit there and stew. I'm going to pray. No. You know, the more that is moving in our heart,
that's right,
there is no spiritual growth and development going to happen in our life. It just chips away at that. And there are believers, believe it or not, who do not want to correct wrongs and straighten out their crooked paths. They are waiting for the harshness of God. That's what they're waiting for. Christians that refuse to be corrected by God, they're waiting for God's harshness.
The longer we go not submitting to correction, the more of the work of God in our life is lost, until ultimately it's all gone. It's all gone. And I have seen that. I have seen that in lives of people. They say, well, how can someone be in the ministry and do mighty signs and wonders and pray for people and all of these wonderful things, and now they're, you know, out of God? How could that be? There was some foundational things that was not laid correctly. And they got offended. And God came to them, judgment. I want to bring you into victory, brother. No, I don't want to be not judged. No, I don't want that. No. Chipped away. Not suddenly, not all of a sudden, boom. It's a slow process of chipping away. And the next thing you know, they find themselves out of God. Amen. It's a parting thoughts. A pupil to walk a straight path causes personal problems. It does. Basic righteousness must be fulfilled. There is no way to skirt the issues and yet achieve progression in spiritual living. People who are operating in the gifts of the Spirit come to me with their problems. Usually I discover unfulfilled basics. Unfulfilled basics. We look at the church of Corinth. The Bible says the church of Corinth, that every gift of the Spirit was operating in the church of Corinth. Every gift. Yet, that was one of the most screwed up churches you could ever want to go to. That the leader of the church, allegedly, I think more than allegedly, was having sex with his mother. I mean, they were just so messed up. And Paul said, don't think that I come to praise you, because I'm not, you know. He said, it would be better that they did not gather together, for when they departed, they were worse off than what they were when they came together. And that was because the basic, the foundation, was not laid correctly. And people that refuse God's dealing and judgments and correction in their life, it's because the foundational principles have not been laid correctly. And anything that in God that is not laid correctly, God will uproot that. And He will destroy that. Amen. Amen. Some do not believe even the most basic scriptures, believe it or not. And others are more interested in their ministry. I see it time and time again. So many people are more concerned about their service and their ministry, and they're not too concerned about their life and their Christian walk with the Lord and their relationship. It's all about this, you and Him. When it's all said and done, I don't need beholding His glory, but I need God.
Amen.
I don't even need to go to heaven. Now, I am going to go to heaven, but that's not my focus.
Amen.
My focus is not heaven. My focus is Him.
That's right.
Amen.
And if the foundational principles are laid correctly, then you'll have a love, not for heaven and ministry and seeing all that stuff. You have a love for Him.
Amen.
And that's all you need. If you have that, that's all you need, and He will take it from there. If our basic foundation is not correct, if it's wrong, then all that we build on, all that we do, and everything that we minister in, every relationship that we enter into, will be wrong. We will have motives to see what I can get out of that. I will be this friend. I will be a friend of this guy because I want this or I want that. And it's all because that the basic principles and the foundation was not laid correct. God is after correction. He brings His people into the wilderness of Sinai to iron out wrinkles. God brought the children of Israel, as I said, to Sinai, which means glory. He brought them to a place of glory. God wanted to show them glory. His glory. But He couldn't. Wow. And why couldn't He? Because they were uncorrectable. They were uncorrectable. The foundation wasn't laid right. And they were uncorrectable. And so they waited there. Wow. God is after correction in our lives. He too brings us to the wilderness. to work us over, to work our wrinkles out. God loves to get us in a fix, Marion. He loves to put us in a fix so He can fix us.
Amen.
He can only fix us when we're in a fix.
Amen.
He can't fix us when we're, hallelujah, everything is wonderful and everything is, He can't fix us then. But when we get in a fix, when He puts us into a fix, then, and only then, can He fix us. Well, He brought the children of Israel to the wilderness. 8 wildernesses they went through. The wilderness. I like one of my favorite verses of the Bible, Song of Solomon 8:5. Who is he coming up out of the wilderness and leaning on his beloved? The wilderness is the place where God fixes us. That's where we learn who God is. He works in our hearts, in our hearts, and brings us to tough and difficult areas in our life. But who is he coming up from the wilderness, leaning on his beloved? The wilderness is we learn to find out who our beloved really is. I love that wilderness story. The wilderness story is the story of my ministry, Kevin, I love, because it is the truth of this Christian living, and the Christian living is God is there to bring us into heaven, but you know what? As John Wright Follett said, God takes us to heaven after He takes us to hell.
Amen.
And the more of hell on earth we can experience at God's hand, the more of heaven we'll be able to experience here on earth. The more God is able to work in our life and take us through some very difficult areas and open up our heart and show us who we are and our thoughts and our motives and all of these things, all of those bad, ideas and all of those, character flaws and all of, the more He can do that, the more we'll be useful to Him. Amen.
Amen.
God brought them into a long halt in their journey in order to enhance their project. This was the longest, the wilderness of Sinai, I think they stayed here for over a year, about a year and a half. That's the longest that they stayed of the, in any of the wildernesses at Sinai. They stayed there. God brought them to a halt. He stopped them in their journey to enhance their progress. Oftentimes, when we feel halted along our spiritual journey, it may be for correction and instruction. Uh-oh. In order that our spiritual journey will be what it ought to be. So if you feel halted in your, halted in God, check to see if it's a need for correction or instruction. That's what God did with the children of Israel. He stopped them there in Sinai so He could correct them and instruct them. Because at Sinai is where they got the table of testimony. It's later called the Ten Commandments. But the temple was was given to them. All of this stuff, all of this glory that God had for them was given there to them at Sinai. Amen. No correction, no spiritual growth and development. But God, no correction. The Bible says that the Lord loves and scourges every child that comes under Him. He loves. Every child comes. He loves and scourges. And scourging, that's not the scourging that you're thinking of, Daryl. Jesus got scourged with a cat of nine tails. The verse there, scourging, is the raising of the eyebrow. That's what that word scourging there means. Have you ever, when you're a little child, and you're doing something wrong, and your mom would walk in, she wouldn't even say anything, would she, Marion? She just needed to raise her eyebrow. That was it. She raised her, that was it. You were scourged. That's what that is, Scourging, the raising of the eyebrow. Wow. Amen. No correction, no spiritual growth and development in our life. God will always bring His children into a place where they can receive correction. So if you want to be in God's perfect will and you want to be moving with God, you want to move into a place of correction. That's like, when Bill Pepper, oh man, I love Bill Pepper. Bill Pepper's coming. Woo! All right. Because I know about 2 hours, he's going to set me down and he's going to read me what for. He's going to let me have it. lived in Alaska. I used to love that because I needed that. Because I needed that. Amen. If we reject correction, we're rejecting the best God can offer to us. Holy cow, wait a minute, that's heresy, Brother Dave. But I thought God wants to give me this, and God wants to give me this. Yeah, He does. But if He can't correct us, then He can't give us those, you know, those precious promises that He has for us. Correction from the Lord brings us into fulfillment and peace. Correction from God brings us into fulfillment and peace. Learning to receive correction from the Lord or from someone over you in spiritual authority will go a long ways in our spiritual growth and development. You know, children of Israel, they never got it. They thought that they were talking to Moses all the time. Oh, Moses, does God only talk to you? You know, Korah and the 250 elders asked Moses. And Moses, three times he fell on his face. That's worship. The Bible, the word worship means to fall on your face. That's worship. So he worshiped three times. And then finally, the fourth time, God said, Moses, separate yourself from them. And God took him out. Harsh measure, right? Amen. God is more desiring to correct us. I'm glad you're setting down. God is more desiring to correct us than to bless us.
Wow.
Well, that probably wouldn't go to a lot of churches, but maybe that's what's wrong with a lot of churches.
Yep.
They're more concerned about blessing. You know, I wrote an article called To the Next Level, and it's probably one of the most complete articles I've ever written. And it'll be coming out soon. But in that article, I said, I don't care if I ever get blessed again. I don't care. God's blessed me and blessed me and blessed me. I don't care if I get blessed, but I care if my wife and my family gets blessed. I care if my friends get blessed. I even care if my enemies get blessed. I don't care if I ever get blessed again. Church always says, bless me, bless me, bless me. But when's the last time we blessed God? God is to us what we are to God. It's not, you know, we see God bless America. That's wrong. It's America bless God. Anyway, I digress some. Last point. I do not like correction. I'll be honest. Anybody says they like correction? Maybe they fell and hit their head. But this is a measure of God's love for us. And correction is an expression also of God's love for us. And it hurts. It hurts when God takes it. You know, God, have you ever been to the woodshed? Mm-hmm. Remember a woodshed?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right, Dad ever take you to the woodshed?
No, but he took the wood to me.
Yeah. There you go. God has a woodshed also. And God knows how to open that door and get you in there and take care of you. Make no mistake. Remember, the whole counsel of God is His love, based on our response to Him. The whole counsel of God is based on our response to Him. For those who love God, His love toward us is His grace and His mercy and His blessings and all of those nice, warm, and fuzzy things that we think about God giving us. And that's based on us loving Him. Now, yes, He loved us first, but if we don't love Him, right? But for those who do not love God, His love, which is all still a part of the whole counsel of God toward them, is His judgment and His punishment. That's a part of God's whole counsel of, you know, of love toward the people. Because remember, unless God can judge us, and even if God can't punish us, then He can never bring us to victory. And that's God's intention in our life. God's intention in our life is to bring us for victory. If you're looking for something other than victory in God, you're wasting your time. There's only one thing that's found in God, and that's victory. Now, He will take you through many steps to get to that victory, but victory is ultimately what God brings to us. If you're looking for anything else, you're just wasting your time. But the victory that God has for us comes out of us loving Him and Him being able to take us through some very, very difficult times in our life. No correction, no spiritual growth and development. Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your love and your many blessings, Father. Lord, we love you, Father, Lord God. Lord, we love you very much, Father, Lord God. You're so good to us, Father, Lord. And yes, Lord, you bless us, Father, Lord God. Lord, work in our lives, all of our lives, Father, Lord God. Correct us, Father, Lord God. Correct us in those areas, Father, Lord God, that you closely scrutinize us in, Father. Lord, those areas, Father, Lord God, that you know, Father, Lord God. And Lord, even though we know, Father, Lord God, that's not pleasing to you, Father, Lord. Help us, Father, Lord God. Strengthen us, Father, Lord God, in the inward man, so we'll be able to be brave enough, Father, Lord God, and bring to you, Father, the things that you know that's in our heart and in our lives, Father, Lord, that you need to put your finger on and touch, so that, Lord, that you could bring us into the victory that you won for us. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord. And we'll give you the honor and the praise and the glory, Father, Lord God. Thank you for this word, Father, Lord God. I don't know about anybody else, Father, Lord God, but this was for me. This is for me, Father, Lord God. For I know there's areas in my life that are not pleasing to you, Father, Lord God. And I love you and I thank you, Father, Lord God. Lord God, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.